What are we propagating? We are not propagating a movement or just some kind of a religious cause. We are shown in the book of Acts, these apostles, they were propagating a resurrected Christ. They propagate this resurrected Christ in his ascension by the Spirit. So many are distracted merely by all the activities, the moving about of these brothers, without realizing the most intrinsic matter in all these so-called acts of the apostles is the resurrected Christ in his ascension is being propagated. He is still being propagated today. In terms of the actual movements of those apostles in those days, that ended by the last chapter of Acts. But as far as the propagation of this resurrected Christ, it is still continuing. Amen. His goings forth is from eternity. He is still going forth. Those apostles, they did their duty, following what the Lord measured to them. And here we are, as the continuation of the book of Acts. We are not continuing some kind of movement, activities. We are continuing the propagation of this Christ, who has gone forth from eternity and is still going forth all until we reach the New Jerusalem. We know in the four Gospels, Christ came as God incarnate, lived a lowly life on the earth. Then, at the end of that journey, he went to the cross to be crucified and accomplish a marvelous redemption. Praise the Lord for that. But the story did not end there. After 3 days after his crucifixion, he rose from the dead. He was resurrected. He is now alive. He is living. Amen. Living forever. Amen. Our Christ is a living Christ. Amen. We serve a living Savior. Amen. I'm glad after the book of Acts, after the book of the Gospels, we are shown this crucified, incarnated, and crucified Christ accomplishing a marvelous redemption, taking care of all the negative things for us. But after that, there is a book of Acts showing us this Christ who was crucified now is resurrected. He is now even ascended in the heavens, carrying out a heavenly ministry. Much more involved, much more extensive, much more richer than the earthly ministry that he was carrying out when he was on the earth. Today, in this message, we want to see in the book of Acts, to keep our one accord, to carry out to be his continuation, the corporate continuation of Christ on this earth. We need to know, we need to experience, we need to enjoy, and we need to even express a particular Christ. The Christ in resurrection, the Christ in ascension, the Christ who is all-inclusive. This is the Christ we see in the book of Acts, which may not be as readily seen as compared to all the outward movements and activities, all the do's and don'ts, which many Christians seem to like to are drawn to. This morning, with the help of the Spirit, we need to dive into something deeper, hidden there. These men, these apostles, they were not just going about, going here, going there, to carry on just some activities, doings. They are propagating a wonderful person, propagating this resurrected Christ who is now in his ascension. I would say, not even so much the crucified Christ, it's more the resurrected Christ who is in ascension. In fact, as you will read in many verses in the book of Acts, numerous times mentioned, they are witnesses of his resurrection. This is their testimony. This should also be our testimony. Our testimony is this wonderful resurrected God-man who is now in his ascension. Okay, now first point says the Christ revealed in Acts is in resurrection. Acts 1:3 says, to whom also he presented himself alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is not dead. He is still not hanging. He is not hanging there still on the cross. He is alive. Amen. He's living today. Amen. What kind of Savior are we serving? We're not serving a dead Savior. We are not preaching a dead gospel of some kind of a history that happened 2,000 years ago. We are serving a living Savior. He made himself, he presented himself alive after his suffering by many irrefutable proofs, appearing to them through a period of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. This one who is alive, no longer in that physical state. He is now in another state. Through his resurrection, he has been transferred to another state, the state of the Spirit. He is now alive and appearing to these disciples for a period of 40 days. Remember, on the evening of his resurrection, he came back to the disciples who were within the closed room. He breathed into them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is nothing other than himself in another form. He already promised. He told the disciples he is going, but he'll come back. But his coming back will be in another form. No longer in the physical state, but in the spiritual state as a life-giving spirit. Amen. He was breathed into these disciples as the breath, the holy breath. Now, the one who was once walking among them, in their midst, for those 3.5 years, now he was in them. He entered into them as the Spirit. Now he could never leave them. Wherever these ones went, he went with them. Now, at the beginning of the book of Acts, he appeared to these disciples for 40 days. Now, as the Spirit, you may say he is abstract, he is invisible. Yet this abstract, invisible one appeared to these disciples for 40 days. He used those 40 days to train the disciples to live, not by his physical presence, but by his invisible presence. He needed 40 days to train these disciples to not live by, not depend on the physical presence of Jesus. Now, they have to learn to live by his invisible presence. He is now the Spirit. He is now in resurrection, brothers. This is a great matter. His being in resurrection today as the life-giving Spirit is much more precious, much more intimate, much more closer to us than when he was with the disciples physically in Judea. I know some of us, including myself, I wish I was born 2,000 years ago, walking with Jesus, eating the bread, eating the fish that he was feeding, participating in his miracle. I thought that would be the best. That would be the top enjoyment of my human life. But brothers, something much better. Amen. This Jesus, after his death and resurrection, he is now transfigured into a life-giving Spirit. Amen. He is now not only with us, among us, but he is now in us. But as he is living in us, he appeared. We enjoy his invisible presence. On one hand, we don't see him. On the other hand, we know he is here. He is with us. In those 40 days, he appeared, he disappeared, he appeared, he disappeared, training the disciples to live and enjoy his invisible presence. This is the resurrected Christ. This was how those apostles propagate this Christ wherever they went. They were not preaching a dead Savior. They did not just have someone physical with them. They were preaching a living Savior, who is one in resurrection, who is one who is now the life-giving Spirit living in them, living and moving with them. He says, through death, Christ entered into another realm, the realm of resurrection. Resurrection is not an event. Resurrection is a realm. In fact, resurrection is a person. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. So many Christians took resurrection as just an event, something to remember, something to celebrate. But resurrection is a realm. It's a this wonderful God-man. He is the reality of that resurrection. To become a realm that Christ was brought into through his death. Because Christ is the living one with an indestructible life, death is not able to hold him. During Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he said, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, since it was not possible for him to be held by it. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the resurrected Christ. When he was in the flesh, he was restricted. by time, by space. But here now, in another realm, he has been transferred to the realm of resurrection, fully in and with the divine life of God, which is indestructible, which is eternal, that death cannot hold this one. He went into the grave, he went into death, he walked out of death. Death could not keep him. Death could not hold him back. He is resurrection. He has an indestructible life. He delivered himself to death, but death had no way to retain him. Rather, death was defeated by him. Amen. And he rose up from it. Amen. Dear brothers, we have to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He defeated death.
Amen.
To every human being, death is the strongest power. When death comes, no one can resist. But here is one. He is now in another realm, the realm of resurrection. He defeated death. He subdued death. Death could not do anything with him. I really pray the Lord, by his mercy, would open our eyes to see such a Christ in the book of Acts. This is the Christ we are propagating. I don't know what kind of Christ Christianity is preaching. At most, is a crucified one who died for our sins, who shed the blood for us, to which we are all thankful for his marvelous redemption. But God's economy does not stop there. His goings forth continues. After his incarnation, there is his crucifixion. After crucifixion, there is his resurrection. And after resurrection, there is his ascension. You know, when I was a young believer, one of the first English ministry book I read, The Four Major Steps of Christ. When I first read that, to be honest, I was not too impressed. Well, these are fairly easy to understand. He was incarnated, he was crucified, he was resurrected, he was ascended. But brothers, through these last 50-some years, these steps of Christ. These are the steps Christ came to carry out God's economy. Every step, you need a conference to expound, to open up his incarnation, his crucifixion, and this matter of his resurrection. Too wonderful. Exhaustless. What happened with his resurrection and also his ascension? We'll come to that in a little bit. Don't belittle these steps of Christ. Don't make them common, just something common. Oh, I know resurrection. I know ascension. No, you don't know. You really don't know. These are the intrinsic ingredients of God's economy to work out his plan so that God can fulfill his desire to enter into man, to mingle with man, and to be one with man. We need to treasure every step of this process. These steps should never become old to us. Just these last two steps, which are the most crucial, as you will see, especially the step of his resurrection. Very pivotal. May the Lord open our eyes. Amen. That there will be something transfused into our being. This will direct and govern the rest of our life. We are here living in and propagating this resurrected Christ. B says, we need to know Christ in the power, sphere, and element of his resurrection. This is Philippians 3:10, 3:11, 10:11. Paul aspired to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. May there be the same kind of aspiration in us as we are serving in all the churches. Dear brothers, don't serve by your natural zeal, by your own knowledge and ability. That means nothing to God. That is actually abhorrible in God's eyes. God wants us to serve him in resurrection by another life. We need to know him and know the power of his resurrection. We know in the process of serving the Lord, even involving in the ministry, the journey, missionary journey like Paul did, we encountered often much difficulties, challenges, oppositions, and death. This is how what Christ encountered on the earth, what the early apostles also encountered. Unless you don't want to serve the Lord, if you serve the Lord, even just in the local church, or, you know, in different regions and places, there will be difficulties, challenges, many negative things, situations await us. What do? Try to maneuver? Try to work it out? Or do we turn to this one who is the resurrection life? Who is the resurrection power? One thing we do know, although man did put Christ to death on the cross, but he arose. He broke through. Death could not hold him. This is a fact. After 3 days, he arose from the dead. Amen. God did not design that everything will be smooth, everything will work out perfectly as we wish, or even through all the difficult, impossible environments, they help to prove this resurrection life to which death cannot hold. And brothers, we need to be impressed that this is the testimony of the Lord's recovery. Our boast, our testimony, is not in any man's eloquence, knowledge, ability. Our testimony for these last 100+ years is this resurrected Christ. Amen. From both our senior brothers, Brother Ni and Brother Lee, we saw that was the life they lived. That was the testimony that was left handed to us. We are here to continue. We are here to continue, not to propagate for some religious cause. We are here to propagate this resurrected Christ. Amen. May we know him and the power of his resurrection. Jesus Christ's resurrection was the focus of the apostles' testimony. Dear brothers, what is our focus? What is the focus of our testimony? When people come to your church, they see a beautiful building. They see a beautifully, wonderfully arranged, organized services. Or are they touched with this people are special? Not by the building around them that they built, not by the things they do, they arrange, but something with this group of people is extraordinary. I was reminded of number of years ago, some of the brothers brought a few of these leaders in Christianity to visit the saints there in China. And one of the leader, actually, she wrote something very negative against us before that time. Then gradually she became our friend, and we brought them to visit the saints in China. And they came to this place, meeting with this brother who was in prison for 20 years, who had not seen his wife and family for 20 years. His little girl grew up for 20 years. He had never seen. She met him in a talk, and then he was explaining how he was suffering the imprisonment due to the persecution by the government, due to some writings that was passed on. And that writing was done by that sister who came to visit her. She was so pricked to her heart, so feeling so terribly, standing before a man who was suffering persecution because of the thing that she did. She apologized. And this brother replied, said, "Sister, this is God's will. Actually, I forgave you 20 years ago. This is God's will. God knows we needed to go through these." She and the others could not believe what they saw, what they heard. What is this? Is this Christianity? Is this just some kind of nice people? These saints, they live by a resurrection life. The testimony they were carrying there in those years of suffering, of persecution, they testified a living Savior, a resurrected one that death cannot hold. Our testimony should not be about our success, our how many people that we have gained, what a great arrangement we could make for our churches. Our testimony uniquely is with this resurrected Christ. So how many times all the verses, and listed there, the apostles repeatedly mention this resurrected, we are witnesses of his resurrection. In Acts 2:32, Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses. We are witnesses of this one who was raised up by God. And even in Acts 17:18, These are some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers confronted him. Some said, "What would this babbler wish to say?" And others, "He seems to be an announcer of foreign deities, because he was announcing Jesus and the resurrection as the gospel." Our gospel, resurrection, should be the content of our gospel. Our gospel is not about a crucified Jesus. Our gospel is the resurrected one. God glorified his servant Jesus through his resurrection and in his ascension. To God, Christ's resurrection was considered his glorification. His glorification. In John 17, I believe it's verse 3, the Lord prayed to the Father, "Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." That was in the Lord's final prayer before he departed from the earth. He prayed for this matter of glorification. And that glorification refers to his imminent death and especially his resurrection. This is the same as his designation mentioned in Romans 1:4. He was being designated the Son of God in power. It's like an incarnation seed sown into the earth, and that is, as it is dying there, it germinates and it brings forth a beautiful carnation flower. That was the glorification of that seed. Christ, through death and his resurrection, he was glorified. And through that glorification, the Lord says, that Father, you may be glorified. Such a word was fulfilled in the life of Christ as a man on the earth through his death and resurrection. The Father was glorified in the Son's being glorified in his resurrection. And also, secondly, also through the church, this is being fulfilled today. In the church, he is glorifying us. We have to be living by this resurrection life. As we are being glorified, the Father is being glorified. Like that story I just mentioned, in that particular transaction, these ones from Christianity saw something they had never seen. People living out a resurrection life. That death was not able to hold back. The Father was being glorified. And of course, eventually, this will be fulfilled in the New Jerusalem. Number two, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus points back to his incarnation, humanity, human living, and God-ordained death, and points forward to his ascension, ministry, and administration in heaven and coming back. His resurrection is pivotal. On the one hand, it points us back to his incarnation, his human living, and his death. In other words, without resurrection, his incarnation, his crucifixion would be empty, would amount to nothing. Someone who died for us, he incarnated for us, but he never resurrected. His resurrection is a proof. God has accepted this one. God has approved all that this one had done. His incarnation, his dying for us on the cross, has been confirmed and approved and accepted by God through Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah for his resurrection. Amen. And through that resurrection also points forward to his ascension. His ascension, dear brothers, is not just, oh, suddenly Jesus rose from the dead and now he just goes back to heaven. He goes back to where he came from before. That's the thought of many Christians, thinking about he is going back to heaven. Going back to where he left off. 30 years before, 33 and a half years ago. No. Ascension is referring to a resurrected God-man. The one who ascended is not only God anymore. The one who ascended is a wonderful God-man. Amen. The one who was God incarnated to be a man, living through the human life, passing through death and resurrection, such a one ascended to be the Lord of all, to be at the right hand of God. This is the one who is in ascension, to be enthroned, to be made Lord and Christ. Without resurrection, that ascension also will not be that meaningful. Today, what is so crucial, as we will see with ascension, is that this is a man now is in the heavens. Amen. A man has now ascended to the throne in the heavens. My, this is a great thing. So, resurrection is pivotal in this processes Christ passed through. As Brother Lee mentioned, to help us to understand, it is in his resurrection Christ brought humanity into divinity. He was begotten to be the firstborn Son of God. In his incarnation, he was born to be a man. He brought God into humanity. But now in his resurrection, he brought man into God. He brought humanity into divinity. He became the firstborn Son of God. And secondly, it is in his resurrection, he regenerated many believers to be the children of God, the members of Christ. He dispensed that resurrected life of Christ into all his believers, the chosen people of God, to make them the children of God, the members of Christ. That took place in his resurrection. And thirdly, it is in his resurrection, this one who was the last Adam, he became a life-giving spirit to dispense all the riches of God's organic salvation into us. Do you see how important resurrection is? Without resurrection, we have no hope. Without resurrection, even his incarnation does not, what will come out of it? Resurrection is so crucial. And today, as the continuation of this book of Acts, we are propagating this resurrected Christ. Amen. Don't forget, dear brothers, that you are serving in the churches, you are serving a resurrected Christ. Amen. You are not just serving someone who died for you, who shed the blood for you, to whom you are grateful, you want to serve him in return. No, that's not enough, brothers. We are serving a living Savior. Amen. We are serving a resurrected one. Amen. Who is now the life-giving Spirit living in our spirit. Amen. We are living, we are serving with him in this Spirit. And I pray, even as I'm speaking here, I'm speaking in and with this one in resurrection. Amen. As you are listening, the same way. May the Lord preserve his recovery. In these last days, with so many younger ones rising up to serve the Lord in the churches, which we are so happy and encouraged. But you must realize, what is the testimony of the Lord's recovery? The testimony of the Lord's recovery is a testimony of the resurrected Christ. Amen. Now, we come to the next point. The Christ revealed in Acts is in ascension. After resurrection, he also ascended. While I would say many saints may have some appreciation about resurrection, because it is something that we can, some more subjective, that we can identify somewhat. But ascension, I have from my observation, is something many saints know hardly anything about. They think this is something in the future, something that is so objective. Yes, Christ ascended. Wonderful. So what? What has that to do with me? What has that to do with my situation? Brothers, you are too short-sighted. Actually, the lack is not only your sight, it's your growth in life. As mentioned, you know, in the experience of life, it's not until you reach the fourth stage you can understand and enter into Christ's ascension. That's where reigning is. That's where the body of Christ is. We need to grow. We need to continue to grow so that we will not merely appreciate his incarnation, his death, or even a little bit of his resurrection. The Lord must bring his recovery higher to another level. We are one with him in his ascension. This is the state where Christ is reigning. Now, he says, whereas resurrection is a matter of life, Christ's ascension is a matter of position. And position is a matter of authority. I think this reminds us of Jacob and Joseph, who were considered as one corporate person with the two sides, where Jacob represents the side of life, fully matured, arriving at the riches and maturation of life. But he needs to be coupled by Joseph, representing the kingship, the reigning aspect. Joseph was ascended to the kingship, reigning and ruling there. So on the one hand, we need to grow in life to arrive at the maturity of life. On the other hand, we must realize there is the matter of position that is seen in the matter of ascension, ascended position, full of authority. B says, the Lord's ascension was his initiation into his living and ministry in the heavens. This initiation brought him into a new realm, that is, into the heavens, where he now has his living and is ministering there. So on the one hand, he is the life-giving spirit in our spirit. On the other hand, he is now in the heavens. He is not only in the physical heavens, he is in the heavenlies, in the heavens as a heavenly realm. Oh, there in that realm, he is busy. He is busy carrying out his heavenly ministry. As I mentioned, that this, when he ascended, he was God, came into to the earth as a man, and then he went back, he ascended back to heaven also as God to go back to where he began. No, after passing through the process, now he ascended as a man. He brought that humanity into divinity. He brought man into God. And now there's a man in the glory. There's a man in the heavens who is made Lord of all.
Amen.
He will be the judge of the living and the dead. Not as God, but as man. He will be the one carrying out God's universal administration. Oh, dear brothers, I don't know how you feel, especially in these days, living in a chaotic world. There are wars going on there, in Russia, in Israel, and there are all the chaos going on in many countries. With the earthly governments, we know all these things are being set up as a stage to prepare for our Lord's return.
Amen.
This has to be. In the midst of all this, what should we do? Do we just pray that the Lord will just be merciful to us, that keep us, that we will be kept faithful? Only, we need to know our position. We are not only serving a living Savior, we need to know that He is now in ascension, not just by Himself. We are His body ascended together with Him.
Amen.
The one who is now in ascension is not an individual man, but a corporate God-man.
Amen.
He is the head and we are His body. Administrating over all the affairs of the earth today. We are not those in the White House. We are not those in many of the parliament in the Congress. But we are those in the heavens.
Amen.
May the Lord open our eyes to see the position that God has given us today as the church. We are not here on the earth just struggling along. Oh, just to keep the meetings going, to do some gospel preaching here and there to gain some people. Yes, we need to do that. But don't forget our heavenly position.
Amen.
This Christ who is ascended has been transferred to another realm. To a heavenly realm, and in that heavenly realm, He has been made Lord and Christ.
Amen.
He is the heavenly minister. He is the mediator of God's new covenant. He is the heavenly high priest. He is the minister of the tabernacle, ministering life and grace to us, the heavenly life on earth. Dear brothers, we have not only a resurrected life, we have a heavenly life.
Amen.
Everything that we do in our service, in our churches, need to be heavenly. That's why we can never allow any kind of gimmicks, earthly politics, play to be played in the church. We are a heavenly people.
Amen.
We are under Christ's heavenly ministry.
Amen.
He is very busy doing there. This, in this heavenly realm. Oh, all these statuses I just mentioned. You know, years ago, they were just words to me. But in these days, my, all these statuses Christ has in the heavenly realm. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the head over all things to the church. He is our heavenly high priest. praying for us, interceding for us. My, all these statuses mean so much to me. How are we going to live in these days? We know, even we heard reports about persecution in Russia, in India, in even here in the U.S. Very severe persecution, attacking God's interests on the earth. What do? We cannot just sit back and just let the enemy just rip us off, rip us away. We have to see the Christ whom we are serving. He is a not only resurrected, but ascended. He is the ruler of all the kings of the earth. The real ruler is not in the White House. It's not in the Kremlin. The real ruler is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the heavens.
Amen.
And we are His body.
Amen.
We are joined to Him.
Amen.
Ephesians 2 tells us, we are made alive together with Him, raised up together with Him, seated together with Him. We need to recognize our heavenly position. This will affect how we pray today. We are not praying as beggars, begging God to help us, to give us this and that. We are praying in the heavenly position, praying the prayer of the age, the prayer of authority, the prayer of God's administration. I do believe the future of the world is not determined by the White House or any other government center. It's dependent on here, right here, in the church. We will determine the future of the world. Our position, our responsibility is too great. This is the Christ whom we serve in the book of Acts to be continued by us. So the next point, the Lord's ascension brought Him into a new stage, the stage of a resurrected man living in the heavens as the center of God's administration. See again, without resurrection, ascension will be, what would that mean? There has to be a resurrected God-man now living in the heavens as the center of God's administration. This resurrected one is now sitting in the heavens to execute God's administration. Among the many statuses of Christ in His ascension, two probably most crucial ones are number one, as the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the ruler. There may be many kings on the earth. He is the ruler. You look back in the last 100 years of human history. Kingdoms fell, kingdoms rise. Just after World War II, America rose to the power, the world power. And many changes since then. There's been changes in the political situation in China in 49, causing apparently a devastation to the Lord's testimony there in China. At that time, Brother Lee was so disheartened. How could this be? 400, 500, 600 churches, all of a sudden, all wiped out. And then by God's sovereignty, he was sent out of China, go to Taiwan. Initially, it was just, what can be done here? And now you look back, and the Lord, what he is doing there, even now in Taiwan, in these years. And then Brother Lee was brought to America in 62, and through that, the rest of the world was opened up. Who is doing all this? There's a ruler of the kings of the earth. It's not up to any person. It's not up to any kings or presidents. It's up to him. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He rule over each one of us, even where we should be born, when we should be saved, and so forth. He is ruling over all our environment to carry out God's administration. And the second matter, the second status, is his being the head over all things to the church. He is there in the heavenlies, on the throne, to be the head over all things. Over all men, all persons, all matters, all things, but to the church. This heavenly Christ is there as the executor of God's administration, carrying out the heavenly policy. This policy, the center of that policy, is to build up the church as the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all, to consummate in the New Jerusalem. This is his heavenly policy he is carrying out right now. He's heading up over all the situations to the church. We have to see that. We have to believe that. In today's chaotic situation, brothers, we are not discouraged. We are not threatened. We should not be frightened in any way. Rather, we stand. We rise. We are taking our seat with this one in the heavenlies. He is there ruling. He is there reigning. May the Lord have mercy on us to help us to continue to grow in his life, to reach the fourth stage of the experience of life, that we can enter into the stage of reigning, ruling with Christ in his ascension, praying in a heavenly way, praying the prayers of ascension to loose, to bind. We have been given all the authorities of heaven and earth have been given to Christ, who is our head. Number 2 says, the resurrected Christ ascended to the heavens to be exalted by God and to be given the kingship, the lordship, and the headship over all things. D says, the ascended Christ has also obtained the throne, the glory, and all the authority in the universe. The glory refers to the splendor related to his person. The head once was crowned with thorns, now is crowned with glory and honor. This is a heavenly scene, brothers, that God needs to open our eyes to see. There's a man in the glory. He is crowned with glory. He is the one sitting on the throne. There's a throne in the heavens that governs and directs everything that goes on this earth. Oh, when there was the pandemic, we prayed. Pray to the one on the throne. Never forget that there is a throne in the heavens. not just looking at the earthly situation, but look into heavens. Look away unto Jesus, the perfecter, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is sitting at the right hand of God. He declared, all authorities of heaven and earth has been given to me. When did he say that? Not when he was a man, but after his death and resurrection. As a resurrected God-man, he possessed all authority of heaven and earth. And that he passed on to his body, the church. So when the church prays, it's not a small thing. As mentioned in some of the points by Ricky last night concerning prayer, when church prays, the earth shook. I mean, this is something is happening. When the church engaged in that kind of prayer, my, the earth shook. The demons flee. These days, we need to take our position to pray. He says, the ascended Christ is the Lord of all to possess all. The word Lord means he is the owner. He is the possessor. Jesus is the Lord. He is the possessor of all things. The Lordship of Christ is one of the most important aspects of what he has obtained in his ascension. Since the Lordship of Christ was fully established in his ascension, we, the members of his body, need to realize this heavenly fact. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The worldly kings try to expand their empire, try to possess more land, more countries, more possessions. But here we have the Lord of all. Amen. King Jesus, he is the Lord of all. Amen. Possessors of all things, the whole earth. America is the Lord's. Amen. Russia is the Lord's. Amen. Africa is the Lord's. Amen. China is the Lord's. Amen. The earth is the Lord's. Amen. He is the Lord of all. Amen. Remember, it was mentioned yesterday, Paul, in that long and tiresome missionary voyage, you know, to where they encountered the shipwreck. Then, as everybody, all the ones on the ship were threatened, their life will be taken away. And there, Paul, who was a prisoner, he was the one in chain, but yet he contacted his God. In his contact with God, God told him, I have given all these people to you. All these ones on the ship belong to you. None of them will die. The ship will be wrecked, but they'll be okay. Here's a prisoner standing up in that hopeless situation, encouraging these so-called his owners. They are the one who is to carry this prisoner to Rome. But he stood up instead. He was the real owner. Amen. On that ship, he owned all those people. He was the real captain there. He directed them what to do to save their life. He was Jesus living again. In his resurrection, even in his ascension, he was reigning there on that ship, ruling for this ascended Christ. Oh, brothers, as we are serving the Lord, we may encounter many challenges, difficulties, sufferings, persecutions. We need to see the Christ in the book of Acts is a resurrected Christ. It's a Christ in ascension. We are here learning to live that resurrection life with His power. We're going to serve in that heavenly position. F says the ascended Christ is God's anointed to carry out God's commission to work out the spreading of the gospel and the building up of the church. Now, Romans 3, the Christ revealed in Acts is the all-inclusive Christ. Praise the Lord. He is resurrected, ascended, and also all-inclusive. He is not so simple just as our crucified Savior. He is not, at least these eight aspects. I'll quickly go over them. A, he is the author of life. This is in chapter 3, where Peter was carrying out the healing of the lame person. As he was causing him to rise up, he told them that the author of life you killed, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. He referred to, as he was outwardly doing the healing to this lame person, he told them, the one who actually healed you is the author of life. One says, as indicated by the Greek word rendered author, Christ is the origin or originator of life. He is the author, the chief leader in life. In him was life. Life originated from him. He embodies life. He is life. The life here in Greek is Zoe. He is the author of that Zoe. Outwardly, they are rendering physical life to that lame person, but he is telling them, the author of life. We may be doing many physical things, preaching the gospel, helping people, but we must be ministering the author of Zoe. Amen. He is the true origin and originator of life. In Acts 3, we see the imparting of life into others, which is to propagate Christ. For such a propagation, we need the Lord as the author of life, the source of life. As the author of life, Christ is the holy and righteous one. Okay, B says, Christ is God's servant. He is the servant of Jehovah, God's servant, the one sent by God to carry out God's commission. In Acts 3:26, to you first, God, having raised up his servant, has sent him to bless you in turning each of you away from your wicked deeds. Number one says, as the seed of Abraham and the servant of God, Christ is the one in whom all the families of the earth, all the races, colors, and nationalities will be blessed. Amen. Brothers, are we blessed?
Amen.
I feel we are very blessed.
Amen.
We are very blessed.
Amen.
We are blessed by the servant of God who came not to be served, but to serve us. To serve what? Not the physical things, material things. He serve us with himself. He serve us with the element of the triune God. That is a real blessing. God sent back the ascended Christ as a blessing by pouring out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Hence, the Spirit whom God poured out was the Christ whom God raised and exalted to the heavens. The real blessing is this wonderful Spirit, who is the pneumatic Christ, being poured out upon his people. Dear brothers, every day we have to come to him, spend time with him, open your being to him. Let him fill you. Let him bless you with himself. As the seed of Abraham, I read that already. Okay, now point C, the third aspect. Christ is the leader and savior. God exalted the man Jesus as the highest leader, the prince, the ruler of the kings, to rule over the world and the Savior to save God's chosen people. He is surely our leader. He is leading all our lives. He led you where you should be born, when you should meet Him, how you should be saved. He arranged all our environments in His leading us. He is also our Savior. He is in His leading us. He is also for the purpose to save us. Leader is related to His authority, and Savior is related to His salvation. He rules sovereignly over the earth with His authority so that the environment might be fit for God's chosen people to receive His salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers. I'm sure each one of us has our story to tell, how this leader has led us through our life. But today, we are all here. Even to have a seat here is under His leadership. In order to save us, He is our Savior. Then D says, Christ is the Son of Man. Acts 7:56 reveals that Christ is the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God to be the comfort, encouragement, and strength to the one martyred for Him. Stephen saw the ascended Christ as the Son of Man. This indicates that Christ, who is in the heavens, still has His humanity. He still possesses His human nature. Stephen did not see God there. He saw a Son of Man. One who understood all the human sufferings. What a comfort that was to Stephen. Then point E, Christ is God. Christ as our God is the purchaser of the church, having obtained the church with His own blood. God secured, purchased, and redeemed the church with His own blood, the blood of Jesus, His Son. Christ died on the cross as the God-man, and the blood that He shed there for our redemption was not only the blood of the man Jesus, but also the blood of the God-man. The blood through which God obtained the church is God's own blood. Of course, we know God does not have blood, right? As the divine being, only man has blood. But for the carrying out of redemption, God became a man. As a man, He shed the blood for us. So His being a man qualified Him to carry out the redemption for us. But His blood is not merely the blood of man. It is the blood of God's Son, of God Himself, that gives that blood eternal efficacy. Amen. Praise the Lord that He is God. This very Christ is God who shed His blood through His Son to redeem us. Then F, Christ is the Lord of all. Amen. How about we declare, He is the Lord of all. In Acts 10:36 refers to all the peoples. The ascended Christ is the Lord of all the different races and peoples on earth. With Him there is no respect of persons. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
He is the Lord of all.
Amen.
Then Jesus, He is also the judge. Christ has been designated by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Christ is a man to judge the world, designated by God in righteousness and proved by God's raising Him from the dead. The one who is coming to judge the earth is not God, but a man. The ascended God-man, He will return to be the judge of the living and the dead. Then finally, point H, Christ is the Lord Jesus, the object of the believer's faith. To believe in the gospel is mainly to believe in Jesus Christ. To believe in the Lord Jesus is to stand on the person of Christ and all that He has accomplished, both of which constitute the belief, the faith of God's New Testament economy. When the jailer asked Paul, "What should I do to be saved?" Paul simply told him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." This Lord Jesus is God and man. Just simply believe, Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. He is the very content of our faith. Amen. What a Christ we have, brothers.
Amen.
Resurrected and ascended.
Amen.
And all-inclusive.
Amen.
This is the Christ whom we propagate.
Amen.
Okay, let's pray with the one near us for a few half a minute.